News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Trinamool Congress calls hundreds of thousands of hired guns and goons deployed in West Bengal outsiders, but it does not use such a label for leaders of the Bharatiya Janata Party. Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee has told News 18 in an interview. "We don't call the Prime Minister or the Union Home Minister an outsider," she said. "Why should we? We say the people who have been deputed in Bengal to defeat the TMC, the guns and goons, who have also brought the pandemic, are the outsiders. We will continue terming them so. Guns and goons are not your assets," Banerjee said. The debate has gained political center stage this election season, with the TMC calling the BJP a party of outsiders. It has also said Bengal doesn't need Gujarat's brand of politics, a remark seen targeted at PM Narendra Modi and Home Minister Amit Shah. Both of them are from the western state. The BJP, on the other hand, has termed the argument shallow, asking if Rabindranath Tagore is an outsider to the rest of India. It has also said a son of the soil will become the chief minister in Bengal if the BJP comes to power. In the interview, Banerjee exuded confidence about comfortably winning Nandigram, where she is contesting against her former party colleague, Suvendu Adhikari. "Why would I be contesting only one seat if I am not confident?" she asked. Agitations against land acquisition for industries in Hooghly's Shingur and East Medinipur's Nandigram helped Banerjee end a 34-year-old left rule in 2011. Banerjee said her decision to contest Nandigram in place of Kolkata's Bhavanipur, her traditional seat, was aimed at honouring the watershed land agitations. "My commitment is greater than my self-interest," she added. "The BJP will not win Nandigram, no matter how much they have tried," she said, accusing the centre's ruling BJP of election malpractices, while terming her challenger, who switched sides in December, a gaddar or traitor. The chief minister said she was also confident of a victory in the state with 2/3 majority. "The writing on the wall is crystal clear. There will be magic," she said. "Our government will be re-elected and work for Ma Mati Manush, or Mother Soil and People," Banerjee said, referring to her popular political slogan. High courts, Allahabad, Punjab and Haryana, Madras, Bombay and Rajasthan, have a huge 54% shares in over 57.51 lakh pending cases in 25 high courts of the country, the Supreme Court said on Tuesday, while paving the way for appointment of ad hoc judges to tackle docket explosion. A bench headed by Chief Justice S.A. Bobde, by a verdict, activated dormant and rarely used Article 224A of the Constitution and paved the way for appointment of retired High Court judges as ad hoc ones for a period of 2 to 3 years to clear the backlog. The bench, also comprising Justices S.K. Kaul and Suryakant, said the primary purpose of appointing ad hoc judges is to deal with the group of cases which have been pending for over 5 years. The judgment, penned by the CJI, referred to the data of National Judicial Data Grid and said it shows that 5 high courts alone are responsible for 54% of the pendency of over 57,51,312 cases. The High Courts of Allahabad, Punjab and Haryana, Madras, Bombay and Rajasthan. The Madras High Court has among the highest arrears in the country of 5.8 lakh cases, despite having fewer vacancies than most other high courts, that is 7%. This does not take away from the requirement of appointing ad hoc judges, but supports the view that even if the existing vacancies are few, a situation may arise requiring the expertise of experienced judges to be appointed as ad hoc judges, it said. On the other hand, the Calcutta High Court has one of the highest vacancies, to the tune of 44% of sanctioned strength of judges, but it has half the arrears of pending cases in comparison to 2.7 lakh pending matters in the Madras High Court, the judgment said. In such a scenario, it is apparently the absence of strength of the judges which may be responsible for creating the arrears and thus giving rise to another scenario for appointment of ad hoc judges. The NJDG data shows that 56.4% pending cases were filed within the past 5 years, whereas 40% of the pending cases were filed between 5 to 20 years ago, The primary purpose of appointing ad hoc judges is to deal with the latter group of cases that have been pending for over 5 years, it said, and referred to the chart showing percentage breakup of cases pending before high courts for different periods of time, as on April 4, 2021. The primary purpose of appointing ad hoc judges is to deal with the latter group of cases that have been pending for over 5 years, it said, and referred to the chart showing percentage breakup of cases pending before high courts for different periods of time, as on April 4, 2021. China's government on Tuesday rejected accusations of abuses in the Xinjiang region after a human rights group appealed for a UN investigation into possible crimes against humanity. Accusations of forced labor or detentions in the northwestern region are lies and false information concocted by anti-China forces, said a foreign ministry spokesman, Wang Wenbin. He accused critics of trying to undermine Xinjiang's stability and security and curb China's development. On Monday, Human Rights Watch appealed to the UN Human Rights Commission to investigate reports of mass detention of Muslims, a crackdown on religious practices and other measures against minorities. It said they amount to crimes against humanity as defined by the treaty that established the International Criminal Court. More than 1 million people have been confined to camps in Xinjiang, according to foreign governments and researchers. Authorities there are accused of imposing forced labor and birth controls. Beijing rejects complaints of abuses and says the camps are for job training to support economic development and combat Islamic radicalism. The government is pressing foreign clothing and shoe brands to reverse decisions to stop using cotton from Xinjiang due to reports of possible forced labor. Wang accused news outlets of acting as a loudspeaker of lies and disinformation. China has denied the United Nations unfettered access to the region to investigate. Wang called on foreign observers to respect facts and truth and to stop the wrong practice of spreading disinformation about Xinjiang and making false statements at every turn. Seeking a weak link in the unity of 12 rebel clubs in the Super League, UEFA on Tuesday targeted owners in England who signed up to the project that threatens to tear apart football's traditional structure, including the Champions League. UEFA president Alexander Seferin made a direct appeal to owners of some English clubs to change their minds out of respect for football fans. Seferin both cajoled and criticized the six-club group, including American billionaires, Abu Dhabi royalty and a Russian oligarch, less than 48 hours after the Super League was launched in alliance with three clubs from each of Italy and Spain. "Gentlemen, you made a huge mistake," Seferin said in a speech to European football leaders at the UEFA annual meeting. "Some will say it is greed, others will say disdain, arrogance, flippancy or complete ignorance of England's football culture. It does not matter. What does matter is that there is still time to change your mind. Everyone makes mistakes," said Seferin, who did not specify which clubs he thought might be flipped. The American owners of Manchester United, Arsenal and Liverpool seem most committed to bringing a closed league structure to European football. The Glazer family, Stan Kroenke and Fenway Sports Group own major league franchises, including, respectively, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Los Angeles Rams and Boston Red Sox. The other owners are Sheikh Mansour bin Zayed Al Nahyan at Manchester City, Roman Abramovich at Chelsea and English currency trader Joe Louis at Tottenham. Seferin urged the six club ownerships to turn back out of respect for fans in England, aiming another barb at what he earlier called a few selfish people. "Come to your senses," he said, "not out of love for football, because I imagine some of you don't have much of that." Seferin also lavished praise on UEFA Executive Committee colleague Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the president of French champion Paris Saint-Germain. PSG has so far resisted offers to be one of the 15 founding Super League members. Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund have also stayed out. "Nasser, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You showed that you are a great man," Seferin told the Qatari official before also citing Bayern chief executive Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. Al-Khelaifi also heads Doha-based broadcaster beIN Sports Group, which is a major UEFA customer, currently holding Champions League rights in the Middle East, North Africa, Turkey, Malaysia and Singapore. "I'm here to stand with the people who love football," Al Khalifi told reporters upon leaving the meeting, which confirmed his seat on UEFA's top committee through 2024. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.